call 911.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Change is so exciting. You know, my husband, DJ Automatic, and I just moved into a new house. Everything is new and different, and we love it. Everything is also new and exciting with the all-new reimagined Nissan Kicks. From the design and styling to the performance and tech features, Kicks has been totally reimagined from the inside out. This city-sized crossover is ready to take on city life and have fun doing it. Head to NissanUSA.com to see it today.
Paul's new drone startup just lost its most genius computer scientist.
We just lost our best genius to some new genius who's got a genius new idea. I'm going to have to find a new genius or two half geniuses and fast.
He needs a computer scientist that can keep his startup from falling down.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. No word yet on President-elect Trump's next nominee will be for the Attorney General. Former Congressman Matt Gaetz bowed out today. Gaetz was facing backlash over allegations of sexual misconduct and illicit drug use while he served in Congress. ABC's Catherine Falders is in West Palm Beach.
From my vantage point down here in Florida and from sources that I've been talking to close to Trump, this became very clear that Gaetz wasn't going to get confirmed. They saw no path to 50, essentially, in the Senate. They knew this. They knew this last week. And they had Trump himself calling senators. They had J.D. Vance calling senators. And what they were hearing behind the scenes was, no, we're just not going to vote for him.
Police say Brazil's former president, Jair Bolsonaro, and several aides have been indicted on charges of attempting a coup in 2022. And if you're thinking about seeing the Wicked musical out in theaters this week, don't sing. AMC Theaters reminding moviegoers that silence is golden. This is ABC News. A criminal investigation underway in Europe after two fiber optic cables at the bottom of the Baltic Sea were cut, blocking internet traffic between Finland and Sweden and the rest of Europe.
No one has directly accused Russia, but foreign ministers, including those from Germany, Poland, and the UK, saying Moscow's escalating hybrid activities against NATO and EU countries, which they called unprecedented in scale and variety, are creating significant security risks. Moscow has denied they had any involvement, but a Danish military ship is right now tracking a Chinese-flagged vessel in the Baltic Sea they suspect may be linked to Russia and this suspected sabotage.
ABC's Martha Raddatz. Apple rolling out an emergency update, it says, to protect your devices. It's a fix for two major security vulnerabilities, which Apple says hackers have already exploited. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. Your boxes are wrapped and the gifts are in. Our employees are ready. Let the holiday ride begin. Let's start with the price. It's easy to manage when you ship with the reliable USPS Ground Advantage. In just a few days, it's sure to arrive. We're working nonstop to keep the spirit alive. USPS Ground Advantage, the affordable and reliable shipping solution for the holidays. Visit USPS.com/advantage.
Okay, I have to tell you. I was just looking on eBay, where I go for all kinds of things I love, and there it was.
That hologram trading card. One of the rarest, the last one I needed for my set. Shiny like the
designer handbag of my dreams. One of a kind. eBay had it, and now everyone's asking, ooh, where'd you get your
windshield wipers? eBay has all the parts that fit my car. No more annoying. Just beautiful.
Whatever you love, find it on eBay. eBay. Things people love.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. The Evers administration now projects the state of Wisconsin will finish the 2023-25 budget with a $4 billion surplus. That's more than the $3.5 billion that was expected. First look at projected revenues for the 2025-27 state budget shows an additional $644.5 million the first year and just over $382 million the second year. That's 2.9% and 1.7% respectively. The new projections set the stage for more disagreement between the Democratic governor and Republicans who hold a majority in the legislature over what to do with the surplus. The man behind the wheel in a drunk driving crash that killed four siblings nearly a year ago will learn his fate tomorrow.
Dozens of letters to a Waupaca County judge have requested the maximum sentence for 48-year-old Scott Farmer, who pleaded no contest in August to charges including a fifth OWI and four counts of homicide by intoxicated use of a vehicle. The December 16th crash on Highway 10 in Waiawiga killed siblings Fabian, Lillian, Daniela, and Daniel Gonzalez, ranging in age from 9 to 26 years old. Farmer was driving the wrong way with a blood alcohol content over 3.5%. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Mauston school officials say the district may dissolve if residents don't approve a referendum.
The school board approved a measure allowing for dissolution on Monday after a pair of spending questions failed the last two elections. Superintendent Joel Heesch says the district will run out of money when the 2026 school year starts. The board is considering cutting all athletics, field trips, clubs, and closing an elementary school next year just to stay afloat. Mauston is the largest school district in Juneau County, and it's unclear what would happen if the district folds. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The end of season sale is November 25th through the 27th at Dairy Queen of Durand. Stock up on Dilly Bars and Buster Bars. Dairy Queen of Durand will have frozen cakes on sale November 27th on a first-come, first-served basis. Steve and the staff at Dairy Queen want to say thank you for a great season. Dairy Queen of Durand will close for the season Friday, December 13th at 2 p.m. Stock up on your favorite Dairy Queen treats at Dairy Queen of Durand, where happy tastes good.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sunshine today and breezy winds, whipping around 30 to 40 miles per hour. Pulling out of the northwest, this keeps our high temperatures today to the low 40s. They stay feisty tonight too as we flirt with the freezing mark, and for tomorrow, still cloudy, still around 40. Alexandria, Minnesota, great for winter getaways and holiday fun. Explore alex.com. It's 40 degrees at our studios.
And good to have you with us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America, powered by SEDEX. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We've got a lot to get to on our program today. We're going to talk markets in just a moment with Mike Zuzolo from Global Commodity Analytics. In segment two, I had a conversation last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City with the CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, Brian Humphreys. Talked about a host of topics related to the swine industry. We'll hear that convo in segment two today. In segment three, we're going to be joined by former deputy assistant to the U.S. Trade Representative, Ron Baumgarten. We're going to talk about what the election of Donald Trump could mean for trade policy and more for agriculture in a second term. We'll have that conversation after the bottom of the hour. Then in segment four, we'll listen in as I talked with Andy Bishop from the Cattlemen's Beef Board as well last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. All that coming up here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Choose the perfect grease for your equipment. It is critical to help your equipment achieve superior strength and performance. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to cenex.com for more information. Well, plenty of news items swirling around the markets on the geopolitical front and more this week. Let's talk about some of the impacts there and what we're seeing in the market trade. Mike Zuzolo, Global Commodity Analytics, joins us here on the show. Mike, good to talk with you. How are you?
Great to be with you again this Thursday morning, Jesse. A little bit colder here in northeast Kansas than it was yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah, a little bit of a cold chill working through a lot of the country here towards the end of the week as we kind of got a bit of an active pattern as we're working on fall field work and more. So watching things like weather, South America weather more so is kind of the big driver now. But I've been watching a lot of the geopolitical concerns that are out there. Of course, the escalation of tensions between Russia and Ukraine, Brazil and China signing some 37 new agreements on Wednesday, including ag agreements. So break these things down for us, Mike. What are you watching with some of that news and how it's impacting the grain markets in particular?
You know, we've had a pretty consistent week in terms of the major drivers, kind of surprising given what we've been going through here the last several months, Jesse. And I think the consistency starts with those geopolitical issues really playing a positive role in the wheat price action. And the last 24 hours has been no different with the idea that Russia has come in with an intercontinental ballistic missile fired upon Ukraine for the first time since the war began in response to these long-range missiles that Ukraine has now been allowed to shoot into Russia, both from the United States and Great Britain. And so it's ratcheted up the war. The risk premium is being added to the crude oil, up 2% earlier in the overnight markets heading into this morning's close. That really reacted very quickly in the wheat market. So very consistent there. Now, late breaking news here as we go on the air is that some Western officials are saying this was not an ICBM. And I think that really goes hand in glove with the wheat pulling back and going negative on the day, opening up the downside in the soybeans exactly because of what you hit upon, that the tariff trade issues are kind of resonating still in the soybeans, along with the improved South American weather and these weak product markets we just can't seem to shake at this point.
You know, the China-Brazil news, too, we talked about this a bit yesterday, and the fact that we've known that China and Brazil have been working together and collaborating for many years now, so I wasn't overly, I guess, concerned about these new agreements impacting our markets very broadly, I guess I would say. It just feels like it's old news, even though it's new news. What are your thoughts on the latest there between China and Brazil, Mike?
I agree. I think we've priced some of this in already. I think that the commentary between President Xi and President Lula from those two countries were surprising to the market about having a golden partnership and the best relationship in history, as President Xi has just been last week virtually coming on and opening up that massive megaport in Chancay, Peru, which is going to be a big, big piece of the shipping puzzle in terms of cutting out the time to get Brazilian goods and Peruvian goods over into China, soybeans especially, and meat. So the idea is, with November new crop beans hitting a new contract low on Wednesday, hitting a new four-year low as well, I think that's where we're really pricing in the negativity of this relationship, and spreads are weakening at this point in some areas, but in the case of beans, not weakening. The NOV 25 actually kind of the leader to the downside. So the trade seems to be parsing this out pretty effectively.
Mike Zuzalo with Global Commodity Analytics joining us here on AOA. Mike, looking at some of the outside factors, I know you track crude oil, copper, et cetera, some of the metal markets, stocks, things of that nature. Any indicators there that you're watching as canaries in the coal mine, so to speak, right now?
Yeah, you brought up copper and wheat, and right now on an eight-week basis, the crude oil and the copper are running over 90% price-positive relationship with soft red wheat, and so the wheat market makes sense why they're being driven in a way by these moves in the outside markets, Jesse, and that goes back to the Chinese stimulus, and it goes back to the tight supplies that we have in wheat. I do think the trade is finally getting it here. I think this is real important for the corn market because the wheat really has to turn everything around, if you ask me, because until the bean markets and the product markets find a low, I think soybeans have the weakest hand, the weakest suit of cards. So my take is get the wheat low in, corn can break out above 435, make some new multi-month highs, then we can get some sales made.
How about over in the livestock trade? I know in the case of cattle, we got an odd feed report coming up Friday after the close. I would imagine we're going to have some position squaring here for the rest of the week ahead of that report. And then hogs, kind of a mixed bag there as we've gone through the week, some technical pressure. What's your take of the protein sector right now, Mike?
You know, between the election and the climate policy and the greenhouse gas issue being taken off the board, as well as the fact that we do have a very strong retail product market in the beef side of the equation, Jesse, and the drought ending in the southern plains, and at least a large percentage of it, the retention mindset has hit the feeder cattle market. So feeders clearly have been bought against the fats. The feeders have been the leader to the upside, with hogs and Wall Street being sideways, or at least sympathetic type player and not a negative player or a headwind. So this cattle and feed report, if we've been buying feeders and selling fats, this placements number of almost 104 for an average and 107 for a top end number, if those numbers come in like that, I could see the feeders taking some profit after that report comes out.
Mike, good stuff as always. Anything final you'd mention or reiterate to folks here as we close out the segment?
Had decent export sales again this week, but I think it's really going to be about the trade versus China, and then something we've dealt with before the election, something that looks like it's not going to end very, very soon. So the next big trade picks by President-elect Trump are going to be important, I think, to the trade market.
All right. I know folks can find you globalcomresearch.com. That's globalcom with two M's, research.com. With that, Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics. Always great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us. And if I don't talk to you, have a happy Thanksgiving.
A blessed and happy Thanksgiving to you and all the great listeners at AOA. Thanks, Jesse.
Mike Zuzulo with us here on the show today. Powered by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Up next, we'll hear a conversation I had with Brian Humphreys of the National Pork Producer Council. That's next on AOA.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
FBN is always working to do more for family farms. And now, through December 13th, FBN Cyber Days means even more. More options, more offers, and more spending power with 0% financing and up to 9% off with our cash payment discount. Plus, pricing deals like Willowwood Glyph 05 as low as $12.97 per gallon when you pay cash. Take more control of next season during FBN Cyber Days. Visit FBN.com/save today. Terms and conditions apply.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. As today's program rolls on, it's brought to you by Cenex. Every minute matters on the farm and ranch. High-quality fuel like Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel can help you manage your risk, decrease downtime, giving you peace of mind. Protect your bottom line and protect your equipment with Cenex Premium Diesel. Just go to cenex.com or your nearest Cenex store location for more information. Well, as we continue our program today, one note I wanted to share real quick with folks. You may have heard the intro of the program as a slight change to it now, as AOA is powered by, presented by Farm and Ranch Media, known as FARM. Last week, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk rolled out our parent branding known as FARM, Farm and Ranch Media. And you can find more information about that. Just go to farmranchmedia.com for more info. Very excited for this launch. We had a great rollout at the NAFB convention last week in Kansas City, Missouri. And we're hoping that this better aligns all three of our programs, networks, brands, whichever term you want to use, into one umbrella, that it's been that way for some time. So Farm and Ranch Media, stay farm informed with our brands, AOA, American Ag Network, and Market Talk. And again, find more farmranchmedia.com, and you can follow us on socials and much more. Well, speaking of the NAFB convention in Kansas City last week, I had a great conversation with Brian Humphreys from the National Pork Producers Council about a number of topics that the pork industry is watching closely, whether it be H5N1 shifting over to swine now, looking at a legislative fix on the federal level for Prop 12, et cetera, et cetera. Brian is the CEO of the National Pork Producers Council. Here's that conversation from last week's NAFB convention right now on AOA. Joining us now, the CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, Brian Humphreys. Brian, good to see you. How are you?
Doing great, Jesse, and thanks for coming to Kansas City, the original home of barbecue, nothing better for the American pork producers than barbecue.
I was going to say, go get myself a nice pulled pork sandwich while I'm in town, you know?
Yeah, why limit yourself? You can have sausage and bacon for breakfast, pulled pork for lunch, and ribs for dinner, and maybe a chop in there for a dessert.
So. Maybe some burnt ends, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why limit yourself?
Exactly. Yeah. Just get the whole smorgasbord.
Absolutely.
I agree. Well, thanks for the time. Let's talk. We got a number of different issues and topics to discuss, and I think it'd be a good spot for us to start when it comes to Prop 12, question three, how some of this ties in with, say, you know, the potential for a farm bill here. Could we get a national fix tied in with a farm bill? So I guess get us up to speed, some of the latest that we're seeing surrounding Prop 12, et cetera, right now.
Yeah, appreciate the opportunity. And first, let's take a step back. 2018 was Proposition 12, and before that was Massachusetts Question 3. And at the very end of the day, what both of those did was limit the sale of product in those states, pork product in those states, if they did not meet the arbitrary standards that were set by California and Massachusetts. Essentially, those states are trying to tell farmers in Missouri and Kansas and Iowa and Illinois and North Carolina and around the country how to raise pigs. And we find that to be unacceptable, but more unacceptable is the idea that we would create a patchwork of legislation across the state, across the country, that pork producers would have to comply with. There is no way for a farmer to comply with regulations in different state regulations in Massachusetts and in California and in other states around the country. You can't have a patchwork of 50 states with different regulations. So we've approached Congress and had great conversations about the need for a solution to Proposition 12 or fix Prop 12. And so far, the reception in D.C. has been tremendous. It was included in the House version that passed bipartisan out of the Ag Committee. And we continue to have conversations and really encourage Congress, push Congress to get a farm bill done yet this year. A little bit of a challenge as we head in, but the American agriculture and the American pork producers need a solution to Prop 12, but we also need the stability of a farm bill done yet this year.
No, that's a great point. And what you mentioned there, obviously we don't have very many days in the lame duck session to get something across the finish line. And to that respect, I hope we can get something done here. I know the chances are slim. If we have to kick this to next year,
that raises the question for me. Okay, we have new members of Congress that are going to come in. Republicans will hold the majorities. We'll have a Republican White House, a president who has said on other issues that he would, you know, prefer to leave it up to the states, not necessarily ag issues, but other issues. So one has to wonder, could the dynamics change if this gets pushed into next year? Could that mean something different happens with some of this Prop 12 legislation tied into the farm bill?
Valid question. Our push continues to be to get it done this year. We have a version out of the House. It's passed out of committee. There's an obvious opportunity there to move forward with that. Senator Bozeman has put out a draft version of some bullet points as well, and it's included in there. At this point, the push should be to get it done and to clear the slate for the new administration to work on policy issues as they come in next year. Our focus remains on getting a farm bill done this year. Do dynamics change? Perhaps, sure, but at the end of the day, it's pretty universally accepted that Proposition 12 has had an impact on food prices in California. Pork loins in the state of California have gone up 41% since the inception. This issue isn't getting better, and so the need for a solution is now, and kicking the can down the road from an American pork producer standpoint and honestly an American agriculture standpoint is a real struggle. We need to see a farm bill action quick.
Another issue, I know, ag labor. And with a new incoming administration, there's been a lot of talk about immigration, et cetera, et cetera. I know we need reform to the H-2A program, et cetera. What's your thoughts from NPPC's perspective in terms of labor issues we have right now?
Absolutely, and I think you nailed it right there when we talked about H-2A and reform. American agriculture needs year-round H-2A availability. In some of the areas where we have hog farms and where agriculture is predominant, we're looking at an unemployment rate less than 3% in some of these areas, and the availability to hire local folks is simply not there. And so year-round H-2A, the benefit of the TN program for those technical workers that come in at a higher level is there. But we really need to take a long, hard look at some of those programs. And again, separate out legal immigration for agriculture and food affordability and availability from the rest of the immigration discussion. And we've seen bipartisan bills on that before, and look forward to continuing those conversations under not only a new administration, but under a new Congress.
I should ask as well, and we should reemphasize, I know we have seen H5N1 now in swine. We saw the cases in a backyard farm in Oregon, but you know, reiterating to folks that the pork supply is safe, and as we're seeing this evolution, I know the pork industry is continuing to watch this closely and react in real time, right?
Absolutely. And so just again, as you said, this was an isolated incident on a backyard farm in Oregon where they were mixing with other birds. Mm-hmm. And not a case that not a, necessarily a situation we would see in a commercial operation or in an operation that is regularly going into the food supply. But for your listeners and for everybody out there, we have to remember the importance of biosecurity. To remember as we go into this migratory bird system season, excuse me, that the need to continue to take biosecurity seriously. This isn't about enhancing your biosecurity. It's about making sure that you're following your biosecurity protocols, not only for H5N1, but for the employees and for the pigs as well, to ensure that we continue to keep everyone safe as we go through this. But again, for everybody out there, pork continues to be safe to eat. It never entered the food supply. There's absolutely no concerns there. I had pork chops the last two nights. I had bacon and sausage for breakfast this morning. Absolutely no concerns there.
Brian, anything else you would want to add from NPPC here today?
I think just a recognition that this election that we just went through, in addition to some changes in administration and Congress, there were a couple of ballot measures, one in Sonoma County, California, and one in Denver, Colorado, that agriculture should be really proud of. That agriculture banded together under the threat for some activist groups out there trying to not only get rid of livestock agriculture in California, but banned harvest facilities in Denver. And we banded together, and we worked together, and we collaborated. And at the end, in Sonoma County, 85% of the folks that voted in California said no to banning CAFOs. They stood with American agriculture. And in Denver, 65% of the folks that voted there said no to getting rid of harvest facilities. And I think we should take a moment and be proud that the American consumer and the constituents in those areas recognize the value of agriculture, and that these activist groups have simply gone too far. And we should be proud of that, and take a moment to celebrate the fact that the consumers and the constituents have stood with agriculture this time around.
NPPC.org for more. Brian Humphreys, National Pork Producers Council. Good to see you here in Kansas City. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Once again, great conversation with Brian Humphreys, CEO of the National Pork Producers Council, last week at the NAFB convention in Kansas City. The show today brought to you by Cenex. Keep your operation moving and mitigate risk on the farm with premium diesel and lubricants from Cenex. Go to your nearest Cenex location or visit Cenex.com to find that nearest location or find out details of the products that they have for your operation. Up next, we're going to talk about what the incoming Trump administration's trade policy could look like. Former Deputy Trade Representative Ron Baumgarten joins us next on AOA. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Listening to at Jerry Bear and Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, December milk down 50 to 1865, January down 56 to 1844, February down 40 to 1880, March milk down 44 at 1897. Meanwhile, live cattle markets were lower. Feeder cattle were mostly higher on the day. Now, the export sales report showed 42,000 metric ton of beef sold the week of 11/14. That's a four-week high. Japan was the leading buyer. There were really no cash sales reported as well today. Wholesale box beef prices, though, were mostly higher. Hog markets, meanwhile, were mostly higher on the day. The export report showed 18,000 metric tons of pork sold for the week ending November 14th. Now, that is an improvement from the prior week. Also, pork cutout values were higher. December live cattle down 70 cents to 185.60. November feeder cattle up 32 cents to 255.12. December hogs up 27 cents to 80.80. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all mostly lower. Soybeans were the downside leader due to favorable South American weather and traders concerned about tariffs and another potential trade war with China. December corn down 3.5 to 426 and 3/4. January beans down 12 and 3/4 to 977 and 3/4.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel.
If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues today, brought to you by Cenex. When your equipment runs efficiently, your business runs efficiently. Cenex Stores Premium Lubricants will help keep your equipment in check. Minimize your downtime. Cenex will keep you going. Visit your trusted local experts at your nearest Cenex store, or you can find them online, cenex.com, for more. Well, as we continue today's AOA, let's shift gears and let's talk trade and more with the upcoming Trump administration 2.0. There's been a lot of talk of potential new tariffs. What impacts could that mean on agriculture, et cetera, et cetera? So we want to get some perspective on this. Joining us now, someone who is definitely well-versed in the area of trade policy, former Deputy Assistant U.S. Trade Representative Ron Baumgarten is joining us here today. He's currently counsel with law firm Baker Hostetler. Ron, thank you for being with us at Agriculture of America. How are you, sir?
Thanks for having me.
Well, Ron, as I mentioned, you have a lot of experience here. I know you've had various roles at USTR, the Office of Agricultural Affairs, and much more. You've been working on ag trade policy for quite a few years now. So I guess just a 1,000-foot view to set this up. As I kind of mentioned in the open, there's been a lot of talk of new tariffs maybe being a tool of the incoming Trump administration. What could that mean for ag trade, etc.? I guess just to set up this convo, Ron, what are some of your overall initial thoughts on what trade policy could look like here when we get into the new administration?
Sure. Thanks for having me again on here. You're right about the focus on tariffs. During the campaign, President-elect Trump talked quite a bit about imposing across-the-board tariffs of 10 to 20% and also increasing tariffs on Chinese products coming into the U.S. So the focus has been on tariff policy. A lot of the questions out there right now that you hear are, how is this going to be implemented? What's going to happen to allow the president to increase tariffs like this? And it turns out that the authorities are not clear cut, that there's not this blank check where the president can come in day one and just sign an executive order to increase across the board. Plus, it's unlikely that the president would be that lack that much nuance in the approach. There seems to be a lot of voices within the transition team, and also Howard Lutnick, who was just named the Commerce Secretary for President Trump, a lot of voices urging an approach that's a bit more calibrated than just across the board. What this might mean for agriculture, I'm sure your listeners are very concerned about that and might remember from the last time that a lot of countries, in particular China, retaliated against U.S. ag products, which fell off precipitously in China, and Brazil moved in there to sort of take share away. So there are concerns like that about retaliation. But on the flip side, the ag community had quite a friend in the Trump White House the last time, also within USTR where I work. There was a lot of attention paid to agriculture and issues of agriculture market opening in other countries, Southeast Asia, in China, anywhere. Basically, the administration was there looking to put down barriers, and I would expect the same this time, too.
That's a great point you bring up. I'd love to lean in there a little bit, because there's been quite a bit of talk that there really hasn't been any new free trade agreements, so to speak, in many years. I'd say, off the top of my head, you know, the renegotiation of NAFTA, turning it into USMCA, of course, is probably the biggest thing we've seen in quite some time. Yet there's a lot of folks in ag who are really working hard to develop a lot of these new markets. You mentioned Southeast Asia. I think of India, right, et cetera. So what, you know, depending on who is elected to certain roles here, who ends up at USTR under the new administration, who's the Secretary of Ag, et cetera. You know, your thoughts on just
the overall global trade picture right now, could we see some new type of free trade agreements with this new administration?
To go against the Washington establishment on this, maybe, and say that I could see trade agreements occurring during Trump's presidency. It happened the first time, too. A lot of people forgot that, President Trump was pushing for an FTA with Japan, with Kenya, was looking at the Philippines and other markets. And as you mentioned, the USMCA, which was a renegotiation of NAFTA, that has done a lot for ag, but also there's some issues that have arisen that might be addressed as part of this review that's coming up in 2025-26. But I'd expect there to be an aggressive focus both with the chief ag negotiator at USTR as well as at USDA in the Foreign Agriculture Service on pushing hard to knock down barriers, not just tariffs, but also those crazy non-tariff barriers a lot of farmers and ranchers' products face in foreign markets. I worked on beef policy, for instance, and there were always a lot of issues dealing with that in Asia in particular. So I think we'll see a movement. I don't know if it's going to happen right away. The president doesn't have what was known as trade promotion authority right now to just negotiate these free trade agreements. That being said, the Hill is looking seriously at tariff legislation that would enable the president to increase tariffs, but my call would be that the legislation likely is to grant certain authorities for negotiating in the sense that, you know, if tariffs increase, they can also come down, provided that the country that faces those tariffs also agrees to let in products. And as you saw with the China Phase 1 deal in these Section 301 actions during the first administration, that agriculture was a big part of that Phase 1 deal with China at the time.
We're talking with Ron Baumgarten, former Deputy Assistant U.S. Trade Representative, now counsel with law firm Baker Hostetler here on AOA. Ron, I wonder about this too. A lot of times when I talk trade policy with folks, China's always the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room, so to speak. Everyone talks about the U.S.-China ag trade relationship, et cetera. But you know, since the first administration, China's really strengthened its ties with South America, Brazil in particular. We just saw on Wednesday they signed some 37 new agreements between the two countries. And so thinking about this, if we see increased tariffs on China, per se, from the U.S., from the incoming administration, some folks have mentioned that not only the U.S., but China as well are both positioned differently this time around. If there ends up being a trade war, China could just put all its focus on South America. I mean, talk about that aspect, if you can, a little bit for us here. Do you think the dynamics are different this time around here, you know, 4 years later?
There's a bit of a difference, and this has been a trend that's taking place, as you know, over many, many years, with Brazil and other countries in the developing world becoming ag-producing powerhouses in a way. And so, yes, China has reduced its reliance on U.S. soybeans and other commodities, but at the same time, you know, it likes U.S. beef, it likes to have access to these U.S. products, and there's the consumer demand there for them. However, I would say that if there are tariff increases on products, that China might indeed go to increase further tariffs further on ag products coming in from the U.S. That said, as you saw the last time, part of the end game here was to then come in from a position to negotiate. And, you know, that had started with this Phase 1 deal that I was talking about, which had a lot of ag commitments. And indeed, China started purchasing more again from the U.S. Under that agreement. But COVID arrived, and there were a lot of issues like that, and then the administration's changed. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, the president comes in and sits down and looks and tries to push forward on deals again, even if it involves, you know, short-term pain in terms of tariff increases. And I would note that, you know, the last time you might recall that the USDA provided payments to farmers who showed they were injured by this retaliation that was happening in foreign markets.
Ron, good insight. We got just about a minute and a half here. Final thoughts. What do you want producers, farmers, and ranchers listening into this show, as there's the concern and the talk out there about what trade policy could look like, et cetera, et cetera? Just what would you finish with, reiterate to folks here listening in as we watch this unfold ahead of us?
Across the board, I think that the incoming administration is proposing a lot of policies that would benefit rural America, which is probably one of the reasons why the president-elect enjoyed such support throughout rural communities in the United States. But on the trade front in particular, I'm sure there's going to be some issues with retaliation. That's going to be something that's looming large, and farmers and ranchers are right to be concerned about that. But at the same time, as I mentioned, I think we're going to see a lot more moves to push for some type of reciprocal deals with foreign countries during the Trump administration to open up markets, including ag markets, because we are very competitive on our ag products. And the administration the last time showed that it was a big ally of ag, and I think it's going to be the same thing again this time.
A lot of things for us to definitely keep an eye on. No doubt going to be an interesting start to the term, I'm sure, as we see some of this unfold with President-elect Trump taking office in January. Ron, I really appreciate the insight. We'll have to get you back on the show again to talk more as we get some certainty on some of these trade-related policy issues and more. But for now, we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us. I wish you and yours a happy Thanksgiving coming up as well.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Thank you.
Ron Baumgarten with Baker Hostetler Law Firm, former Deputy Assistant U.S. Trade Representative, joining us here on AOA today, talking trade policy. What could it look like in the upcoming second term for President Donald Trump? AOA today brought to you by Cenex. Avoid downtime with Cenex premium diesel and lubricants. They will keep you going. Visit your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more. Up next, we'll hear another conversation from last week's NAFB convention, an update on the beef checkoff with Andy Bishop from the Cattlemen's Beef Board. That's next on AOA.
Hey, so this new dose is, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens farm.